Hello, you're listening to State Scoop's Priorities Podcast. I'm Colin Wood, Managing Editor of State Scoop. This is our Customer Relationship Management episode for 2021. Our guests are Amanda Crawford, CIO of Texas, and Christopher Raines, CTO of New Jersey. This podcast is being released shortly after the release of a new publication from NASIO on the rise of business relationship management within state government. You can find it on their website or through our coverage. The State Scoop article is called New NASIO Brief Explores Evolution of Broker Role, a reference to the changing role of state technology leaders to that of someone who manages relationships and services as opposed to more of a operational role, fixing devices and so forth. As with all of NASIO's publications, this is a very helpful guide to contextualize and better understand this issue. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you'd probably get some benefit out of reading that report also. All right, here's Amanda Crawford first to talk about her work at the Texas Department of Information Resources. How do you view the importance of CRM these days?
Oh, I think the CRM is absolutely critical to the success of any agency that is providing, really any type of customer service, you know, and in government. That's the one true service that we really offer is customer service. And that's what we have to be able to continue to deliver on. And so having a strong customer relationship management process is key. So I think it can be just as important as the services that we deliver. So at my agency, the Department of Information Resources, or DIR, we strive to have excellent relationships with our customers, our vendors, and our coworkers. Our customer relationship teams work with all of our stakeholders to support the customer needs and are really available whenever and as needed. I think that, you know, having a customer relationship management process is the way to close that full life cycle of the customer's experience. So for us at DIR, that relationship is considered to be a crucial part of planning of all of our initiatives, so that customer experience is really integrated in the beginning planning stages of our major projects. But overall, from experience, I would say it's an ongoing process, building those strong customer relationships, and it's at the heart of my agency being able to fulfill our mission of transforming how Texas government serves Texans.
You touched on this a little bit. What does DIR do for its CRM?
So for us, CRM became a business objective. In fact, it's in our agency's strategic vision. And we set goals to evangelize what we offer here at DIR to improve the access to solutions and the value to customers, to understand our customer landscape, to expand support with technology and business leaders. And then we also have a business strategic objective of the continuous process of improving customer satisfaction. So that is core to our mission, part of our strategic goals. It's also one of the core values here at our agency. Our core values spell out I lead. I is for innovation, L is for leadership, E is for ethics, A is accountability, and D is delivery. And I think customer relationship management falls into all of those pieces, but especially with delivery. And that's just who we are. We're an agency of can-doers. And frankly, we're not fulfilling our mission and doing the job that we're here, that we're paid to do, if we aren't reaching out to our customers and if we aren't fulfilling our duty to them to provide them with the best services and to listen to them. So we've established different projects and initiatives to really understand who our existing and potential customers are. We've built consistent, coordinated, and targeted communications programs, and whether that's through enhancing our online presence with social media and a new website. But we also have consistent agency feedback and customer feedback mechanisms through surveys, discussion lists, and our governance groups. So we are an owner-operator model, and we have a really vigorous governance process for all different levels of government here at the state agency. So we have a business executive leadership committee. We have an IT leaders group. We have a securities group. We have a solutions group. We have all these different governance groups where our customers provide us with direct feedback into, you know, what we're doing well, what we can do better, and what are some of the solutions that they're looking for.
Right. Not to put you on the spot, but can you think of any specific example where a change has been made in response to that sort of feedback?
Trying to think of a recent. Sure. Well, I would say on a kind of routine level, probably on a weekly basis, reaching out to our customers when we're doing enterprise-wide upgrades to our infrastructure and making sure that the scheduling of that doesn't interfere with any major business processes for any of our customers. It's always a delicate dance and a balancing act with the need to upgrade, but as also not wanting to interfere with those business processes for our customers. But other things might be, say we're talking about deploying a particular security tool or having it available for all of our customers, and our customers might come back and say, "We'd like some choice. Could you potentially provide us with a couple different options on those tools?" And then we'd listen and go out and maybe procure and add additional services. So those are just a few examples.
Right, that's great. Okay, so looking at recent history, how, if at all, have your views on this topic changed as a result of the health crisis?
I don't know that for me personally that, and for our agency, that it's necessarily changed as far as how we've used customer service, because it's something that has been a long-standing agency priority. But I think that it certainly showed where there were gaps across government. If you didn't have a strong CRM process, and this also having these mechanisms in place for us showed the benefit of the years of the strategic IT planning that we had done. So our ability to be able to respond to our agency's needs quickly during the health crisis, I think was facilitated by the fact that we had strong relationships with our agency customers. So we were able to quickly, whether it was procuring different hardware devices for remote work technology or expanding internet capacity, helping with application development, and numerous other things, agencies reached out to us because through our CRM process for consultative advice on a variety of topics, including how to conduct remote meetings and open meetings implications when you're doing those meetings remotely. So it really, I think, was a time for CRM processes to shine and just showed their importance. And I think that moving forward from the pandemic, it's just going to continue to be even more important because so many agencies have really come to rely on technology to enable them to continue to deliver to their constituents and to really power the business of government.
Right. For a state that's maybe decided for whatever reason that it's going to increase its focus on CRM or that it's, revamping those efforts, do you have any advice or anything that's jumped out to you as you've done this work?
I think one is looking back to the idea of governance groups and soliciting that continuous feedback from those that you're serving in order to make sure that the processes that you have in place are ones that work for your customers. So a few things that we've done, we actually have, as part of our formalized CRM process, we have CRMs through our multi-sourcing integrator that are the primary customer-facing people for our customers through our shared technology services programs, and they provide support for the questions and engage the appropriate SMEs on these issues. And that was, kind of an initial phase into that. And then we realized that we needed maybe some more technical architects. So we developed the customer technical architects through another one of our managed services, technology solution services, to provide more of the technical support that some of our agency customers would need. So it was evolving more beyond just that connection and CRM as a broker almost, or as a relationship connector, to more of the technical aspect. And then we also have enterprise relationship managers that are our DIR employees who are assigned to all of our customers. All of our customers have one of our ERMs who's there to assist them and to be their single point of contact in any of their dealings with DIR, whether it's through our cooperative contracts program or our security program or our shared services. And so I guess I point that out, that we have these different roles within our governance and CRM processes to advise other state agencies, is don't feel too constrained and that you have to kind of narrow your search and narrow your program and have one person who fits all of those roles. You can have multiple roles within that CRM process to provide, again, the technical support and then more of the relationship and problem-solving support that a traditional CRM might have.
All right, that concludes part one of the episode. Next, here's Christopher Rain, CTO of New Jersey. What does your state's CRM process look like currently?
Well, in New Jersey, we could use the CRM connotation in several ways, and it's probably going to vary by kind of by use case, or maybe even by the state agency's individual missions. So, you know, CRM in, you know, maybe in some large corporations or maybe even in the private sector can mean, you know, a broad set of activities, capabilities, data sets, right, that serve a wide variety of functions. You know, within the state government, or at least I'll speak to, you know, New Jersey's, you know, case, you know, you still have that each agency is largely anchored in their own mission, right? And some of this is articulated right within the statutes that in many cases define these given state agencies or departments over time. So, for example, if I were to say CRM from I'll just use the Motor Vehicle Department or Motor Vehicle Commission, you know, that has one connotation. Whereas, let's say our governor's office or our governor's administration office, right, they have constituent management systems. And so for them, the connotation of a CRM is a little bit different. In some cases, it's well-articulated follow-ups. In some cases, it's, you know, responses and research that has to be done to get back to the citizen. So I don't know that I've seen a lot of activity recently, Colin, that says, hey, we're going to kind of blur the lines across many of the state agencies or departments and kind of go with, quote unquote, one big CRM system, maybe dealing with employees, citizens, and other constituents, maybe even to the extent that we talk about vendor relationship management systems. So there's still some separation there in terms of mission.
Well, where does your role as CTO fit into all of that? And I also wanted to ask about NASIO released a report recently focused on business relationship management, and there's a Venn diagram in there somewhere about how the you know, the overlap with vendor relationships, customer relationships, and EPM, the meaning of which eludes me right this moment. But in any case, how does your role figure into all these various relationship management tasks?
Yeah, in New Jersey, the structure within the executive branch, and is articulated by a somewhat recent, couple of years ago, executive order, which defines the Office of Information Technology, which is my organization. Our primary charter is infrastructure for the executive branch. Obviously, that's compute, server, mainframe, network, or state secure network, storage, et cetera, and disaster recovery. And that's both on-prem and cloud. Now, all of this infrastructure, it's there to clearly support many of the, or all of the state agencies' individual missions. So the business applications, that means both the programmers, the technologists, the engineers, as well as the folks that understand the business needs and the business intelligence. So business analysts and subject matter experts, that application level knowledge and accountability lies within the agency. So it's a partially consolidated along the infrastructure lines bifurcation. So and kind of to your point, Colin, my role as CTO is coordinative advisory. It kind of does get a little bit to that concept of broker CIO as a broker, CTO as a broker. But we have to make sure that we're facilitating the needs of the agencies in the best possible way. Some agencies have fairly modern, robust technology that they operate on. Some are much more looking for and in need of a modernized system, application, cloud service, or even a modified or an optimized business process. So, you know, I hate to answer that it's a little of each, but it kind of is. And then, of course, as the CTO, when each agency makes any kind of a technology procurement, that's product or service, software, hardware, cloud, you know, my role is to oversee, review, and provide approvals for all technology purchases.
Right. So how do you think about the importance of all this as it relates to the deployment of technology, and has this changed at all during the pandemic?
Well, the pandemic certainly has accelerated things. The way I kind of think of how we, the IT organizations across the executive branch, the way we responded to the pandemic, right? There's many, many cases where we had to just jump into high gear, just right. And there was responsiveness to, for example, the Department of Labor, our unemployment customers, the Department of Health, our vaccine registration, vaccine delivery, vaccine testing, all of that analytics, right? So that was a huge response to support and work with our Department of Health. Motor vehicle, right? This, in the case of New Jersey, during the course of the pandemic, our motor vehicle department brought online a tremendously increased number of online services where heretofore, you know, required many, many visits to motor vehicle agencies. So that was an accelerant. So all this happened really fast. Even agencies that sometimes you may not think of right off the bat, but they have direct impact. You know, for example, I'm just going to cite our Department of Environmental Protection. So many people's lives, businesses, and all their activities depend on certain permits and inspections and so forth. And so our DEP was one of those other agencies which just had to respond very quickly. So now, as we're kind of shifting, at least shifting out of the immediacy of that response emergency mode, now we're kind of shifting back into how can we and where can we be a little bit more strategic now instead of real fast responsiveness and reactive. So I see that beginning where, you know, the agencies as well as my agency with our infrastructure are taking more careful, sober, deliberate looks at what we need to do to optimize technology for New Jersey.
Right. And how does CRM fit into those efforts?
I would have to say there are islands of it. So what I mean by that is, you know, many of the state agencies or the executive branch agencies, just over time, they've grown up with their own systems that support their mission. In some cases, these are homegrown systems that have just evolved over time. In some cases, there are large databases that, you know, just out of need, a given agency may have, you know, bolted on, let's say, a front end. And in some cases, they're fairly user-friendly. In some cases, right, especially ones that have been, you know, kind of implemented 5-10 years ago or more, that they're less built on a user experience basis. So, and you can see that as evidenced in certain of our online services. We're now taking a look at, hey, how can we do things to present the state government, the whole of government, to the citizen a little more effectively? So, yeah, we have these state agencies, but we don't need to project those organizational silos, those structural silos that in many cases are statutory, we don't need to project that as definitively to our citizens. They just want to get something done. They want to achieve something or purchase something or register something. And they don't necessarily need to know, well, this is environmental protection, this is community affairs, and this is right the Department of Labor for this service. So I see some of that happening. And then to your question, Colin, that's starting to manifest itself in a little bit of a broader look at CRM systems, but I don't think that's become front and center, at least in my observation, it has not over the past, you know, year and a half.
Earlier, you referenced the NASIO CIO as a broker model. How does that model, which they've been advancing for the last 2 or 3 years, if memory serves, how does that match your experience in New Jersey?
Well, I think that's a terrific question. And I think, you know, to the extent that, you know, there can be varied definitions of what CIO as a broker means, in general, it's something that I'm excited about. I see happening, and that it's going to take some time for that cultural shift to kind of permeate widely. And Colin, what I mean by that is, instead of the CIO being a person, and this could be agency CIOs, and it also could be my job as, you know, again, New Jersey uses the connotation of CTO, Chief Technology Officer, statutorily. They made that a cabinet level position about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, that's the position as we call it in New Jersey. And the reason that it's becoming a little bit more of a broker is we can no longer, meaning our state government, we can no longer really sustain these large behemoth one-off custom built systems from the ground up where we build, we customize, we tweak, and then we have to maintain it over a long period of time. We need to be more effective at brokering in individual services. Sometimes they're applications, sometimes they're actual, you know, business services, right? That are of course supported by technology. So I do see CIO as a broker, I see it permeating at least for the past 1 to maybe 3 years. And I can only see that increasing. Like, look at the way the state government is structured. And in many cases of niche technologies, private sector outpaces public sector salaries in many cases tremendously. So we really have to do smart contracting, and part of that enables acting CIO as a broker.
Right. All right. And lastly, do you have any advice or tips for other states based on lessons that you've learned or kind of aha moments that you've had that you would pass on in terms of keeping your customers happy, or just anything based on what we've talked about today?
Yeah. Wow, that can be a tough one, and it's a good question. I would say, like many things, I think the right answer lies somewhere in that gray area. It's a balance. So, if you take the perspective that, hey, if you just listen to exactly what your customers want, they're going to, more often than not, they're going to ask for a better, faster, shinier way of doing pretty much what they do today. Right, and listening to their needs and meeting their business needs is extremely important in my job, in my role. However, there's also this balance that says I have to kind of push back a little bit and say, hey, even though we're the suppliers of technology, many times the right thing to do is not just technology based, but are we doing the right thing from a business process perspective? So maybe a little bit of that balance, a little bit of that healthy push back and forth between maybe doing it a new way. And sometimes that means enabling it with a new technology or a new product, but doing things in a new way can yield greater results over time. So that's that balance. You always must listen to your customer, but you also want to make sure that any given agency is not really, really, really anchored in the way they do business today. So it's a little bit of that balance. That's what I've learned. That's one of the things that I really value about having, you know, been asked by Governor Murphy to take on this position 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And I think that's that lesson will carry forward for a long time.
All right, that's it for this episode. For more coverage of state and local government IT news, go to statescoop.com.